We're going to look to Psalm 22, verse 30 and 31, but how many understand the Bible talks a lot about your hands, that we're to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting when we pray, and we can praise Him with our hands lifted, and we can lay our hands on the sick. So our hands are very important. But, you know, I was thinking about this. How many of you have, maybe you're the youngest and you have older siblings? All right? You have siblings older than you. Did you ever get a hand-me-down? Now, sometimes a hand-me-down, you know, if you're, maybe you had, you know, like Lori's dad had 9 in the family. If you're the last one, those hand-me-downs get pretty thin. But, you know, a hand-me-down can be good or bad. Lori got a purse given to her she's not carrying it. She doesn't like it that well, but I'm going to tell you, I'm about ready to put it on eBay. She got a purse given to her that was worth about $1,500. Now, that's a good hand-me-down. All right, I don't know why it's worth that much, but I'm sure somebody will want it. But, you know, you can get a good hand-me-down. But my dad, he showed me the love of God growing up, and it was a good hand-me-down. He showed us as a family how to have a hunger for God and a spirit of revival, and he kept us looking for the coming of the Lord. If my dad preached, it didn't matter if he preached on tithing, love, the offering. He talked about the coming Lord. He said, you got to have a good family. You're going to have a good family. You got to be ready for the coming Lord. You're going to give an offering. You better give it because Jesus is coming soon. I mean, that's just how he preached. So he handed me down something good, and he gave me a love for Sooner football. Okay, whatever. When I was a kid, my dad would wear a suit all the time. He mowed the yard with a tie on. You know, he was Pentecostal through and through. I think it's dangerous to do that, but, you know, it was holy. You know, you bend over there, and you pull that thing, and all of a sudden, you know, you're in it. Surprised he didn't die. But my dad would take us to the OU football game, and he walked all slow all the time, but we get to the OU football game, we park about 10, 15 blocks away, and he'd beat us to the stadium by 5 or 6 blocks, wearing a suit, going to the football game. So these are things that have been passed down to me. He gave me that. It's a legacy, something handed down by a predecessor. I want to talk about why leaving a legacy is important, all right? Psalm 22, 30 and 31. Our children and their children will get in on this. As the word is passed along from parent to child, babies not yet conceived will hear the good news that God does what He says. Psalm 22, 30 and 31 in the New Living Translation. Our children will also serve Him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything He has done. Praise God. Let's pray over the reading of the Word tonight. Father God, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We ask that again that this Word would forcefully penetrate our heart. I pray, Lord, that somebody here in this place tonight that has come and at this point they still seem like they're far from You. I pray, Lord, that You would draw them in tonight, that as the net is being drawn, that they would come to Christ, that nobody, not one little boy in the back, not one little girl in the back, not one teenager, not one mom or dad or single person in this place, grandma or grandfather, would leave tonight without knowing Christ. Lord, let there be something tonight that we get, Lord, that we get something that was passed down from previous generations, Lord, that we would receive, Lord, the blessing of the Lord. And Lord, all the seeds that have been sown and all the seeds that have been watered, we declare this to be harvest time in the name of the Lord Jesus. Nothing will hinder that harvest, we declare, in Your mighty name. Lord, do great things and mighty things tonight. In Your name we pray, and everybody shout amen. Tell your neighbor you have greatness in you to do great things, and then you can be seated. Come on. You have greatness in you to do great things. Tonight, when we talk about hand-me-downs or we talk about a legacy, why is leaving a legacy important? And sometimes we think that, well, you know, what I do doesn't affect anybody, but I think that the Bible's very clear that legacy and what we hand down is important. You'll find that in this Bible over and over that it was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had his son, Jacob. So it was something that you will find that there was something passed down. You will find people talk, and Jesus even spoke about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You don't think it's important what you give to others. Think about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah started at the place called Gilgal. Elisha was there. He said, "Leave me alone, son." He said, "I will not leave thee." They went to Bethel. From Bethel, they went to Jericho. To Jericho, they went to Jordan. And at every place, this young man would not leave. This elder prophet of God, he said, "I will not leave thee." And he finally said, "I want a double portion of what you have." I don't know tonight, but there's something in me that is not satisfied that the place that I am at, that I'm not satisfied with just a little bit, but I want a double portion of what my father, who preached the gospel for 67 years as a pastor, I want a double portion of what he had. And for my children, I want them to have a double of the double. It's a little scary that some people only want to give their kid a double. I don't know if we're going to preach on drinking tonight, but I just thought I'd throw that out there a little bit. We find in the Bible that Timothy, when he was talked about, it said he had a genuine faith. That first of all, his grandmother, Lois, had. And then also his mother, Eunice. So there was something passed down from generation to generation. But then when you read your Bible, we read about a man by the name of Eli. And Eli was the priest, and Eli allowed his sons to sin. And we know what happened in the house of God, that the word Ichabod came on the house. The glory has departed. The glory can come in or the glory can leave. It depends on what you pass down. We all know of families. If you name somebody's family, you know, let's go to the NFL. Let's go to the Manning family. Archie Manning, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning. What that dad had, evidently he passed on to his boys. Whether you like him or not, if you're a Cowboy fan, we don't like him. But they do have something. Are you understanding me? And we all know of families when you mention their name. We know of families that are whole families full of drunks. And we know of families that are drug addicts, and we know families that it seems like all of them are thieves. So it seems to me tonight that we can choose the legacy and what we hand down and what we leave for the next generation. A legacy, a thing handed down by a predecessor. Why is leaving a legacy important? I look around this room and I see families that have been with me on missions trips, and I know some of their kids are serving the Lord and their grandkids, and I see others that had preachers in their family, and now it's on them that they're still serving the Lord because of what was passed down. I believe it's important what we are handing down. But I'm going to ask you tonight, what kind of church are we going to pass down? What kind of church are we going to pass down to the next generation? Are we going to pass down what I call power church? Are we going to pass down what I call full service church, spirit-filled church? Are we going to pass these kind of churches down? And do we really need that kind of church? See, when the world needs us the most, it seems like we are being pushed to the side. And today, I see a rise of churches that seem to have no distinction whatsoever. I call them plain vanilla. Now, you may like vanilla ice cream, but I'm going to tell you, I like my vanilla ice cream with some hot fudge on it. Vanilla ice cream's pretty good, but hot fudge makes it all that much better. And I think that we have churches that seem to be pretty good. And Pastor and I were talking about some, and I'm not here to chop the legs off of giants tonight, because if I chop the leg off of a giant, the legs off of a giant, it doesn't make me their height. So don't. But I have been preaching for 35 years. I can say some things that maybe somebody that started last week cannot. All right? But there are some men that are preaching in this nation that are making an impact of some sort, but you wonder, where do they stand on things? You wonder where... what they believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You wonder what they believe about healing. Is it still in the atonement, in the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Is speaking in tongues even necessary anymore? Are signs and wonders for today? You can go to most churches, and I don't think we need to change our songs, but I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Methodist, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal Holiness, you know, whatever you might be, we're all singing the same stuff. So it can't be our music that makes us completely different. So music, we need it. We had a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord tonight. I'm not cutting that down whatsoever. So if you got that, you got the wrong sermon. All I'm saying is, there are people that think they don't need our kind of church anymore. I know there are people that think they don't even need church at all. My church is the beach, I've heard them say, because God made the beach. I've heard him say that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, well, next time you get sick, call the beach. You know, I got these buddies that they want to say, well, you know, the woods, they're my church. You know, God made the trees. He made He made Bambi for me to kill. Well, next time you're needing a funeral, call the woods. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. In this day that we live, I believe it's time not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't believe it's time that we hide our light under a basket or under the bushel, but we give out and we let our little light shine. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want the Holy Ghost and fire. I want healing to flow. I want signs, wonders, and miracles. These are the things that I need today in my life, and I want it to be passed down to the next generation. But yeah, we have a generation today that they like preachers, you know, that validate them in their present condition. You know, that what you do doesn't even matter. God loves you. Well, that's true. Who said he didn't? But they like to be validated that whatever they're doing is okay. But I'm going to tell you, I believe we need preachers that will preach until conviction comes once again. There's still power in the blood of Jesus. Until there's a change in somebody's life, we need churches that still believe that when we're gathered together in his name, that anything can happen. That on any given day, somebody's situation can change, that the direction of somebody's life can turn, and curses can be broken, and blessing can come. We need the Holy Ghost more now than ever. If you believe it, shout amen. See, I will tell you that my God did not give me this Bible to frustrate me. He did not give you the Bible to frustrate you. But I'm going to tell you, he gave us this Bible not just to talk about the good old days, but I will tell you, it is time for signs and wonders and doors opening and house-shaking power. If you believe it, say amen. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. There are lots of people that are more clever. There are people that are more smart than a lot of us, you know. They have more going on, but I'm going to tell you, I believe that God is looking for some men and women and teenagers that will hear from heaven, that they'll get on their knees until God tells them what to do, and when it tells them what to do, chains will be broken, and healing will come and breakthrough will happen in people's families. You understand that we live in a very aggressive environment. People are aggressive. All right, I'm going to tell you, people are crazy. And they have lost all sense of the law. You say, what do I mean, the law? I'm not talking about, you know, Old Testament law. I'm talking about, folks, people are lawless. Lawlessness. And they do nuts. They are crazy. They will protest everything. I don't know if I should even tell this. There was a church going to vote on a new pastor, and there was somebody out in the hallway holding up a sign saying, vote no! It's disrespecting the house of God. That's ridiculous. If you're going to vote no, then go to another church. You've already voted no. That guy probably already voted no for the last 6 months. He hadn't put a dime in the offering. Sounded like a crotchety old man right there, didn't it? But we live in a very aggressive environment. We have aggressive political rallies. We have sports that is very aggressive. Are you understanding me? But somehow we want passive church. We lose our legacy if we have passive church. And I'm going to tell you, people that have needs need the power of God. That's it. You're not going to reach people with needs without the power of God. You're not going to reach the next generation without the power of God. Young people, you're not going to reach your friends at school without the power of God. You're not going to reach your family without the power of God. We need the power of God. What is it that we need to hand down? Listen, what's unique about being Pentecostal? What's unique about Holy Ghost-filled believers? What's particularly remarkable? What is it that we need to hand down? What can we let rub off on our friends? I believe number one tonight, all that was just introduction. Maybe I'm going to preach. I preached two little short messages yesterday. Maybe I'm going to make up for it tonight. I don't know. What do we need to pass down is a tenacity and a determination. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they'd been 40 days that they had been waiting, and they went to that upper room, and they spent the next 10 days in that upper room. And on the 50th day after Christ's death, on that 50th day, something happened. On that 50th day after the Christ's death, and after all that took place, 10 days, he said, "You'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, do you think about how many times they felt like giving up in 10 days? They're already mad. The Romans had killed their Savior. And they didn't even realize who he was until probably after. And all these things are going through their mind. And I wonder how many times in 10 days they felt like giving up. You know what? We need some people that will have some tenacity. That's what we need to pass down. We need to pass down a determination. Some people that will pray until we pray through and pray until deliverance comes. And some people who won't quit believing until mountains are moved and the situation changes. I asked my dad, he got saved in 1948. My grandfather on my mother's side is the Pentecostal preacher. So my dad grew up in a home that they weren't godless, but they weren't godly. You understand that? And at 18 years of age, he got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. He was a middleweight champion boxer of Ohio. He had three more fights to fight, and he was already, contracted to do those. And he said he about got killed the last three fights after he got saved because he didn't want to hurt anybody after that. His heart changed. But he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was 18, and he went to a meeting in Youngstown, Ohio. Youngstown has quite a history. Catherine Kuhlman used to hold a meeting there on Sunday afternoons, I think once a month, if I'm not mistaken. And then she was in Pittsburgh as well, not far away. But great outpouring of the Spirit in that city. But there's a church called Highway Temple's in Odessa, Texas, a little far from Youngstown. But Highway Tabernacle was pastored by a great preacher in those days. And my dad went there at 18 years of age. And they had a guest there by the name of Homer. His last name was Homer. Brother Homer's father, Brother Homer's son, excuse me, I'm getting this a little mixed up. I know this story better than you do. Some of you want to help me, I'm sure, but Brother Homer's son pastored Southeastern Assemblies of God Bible School in Lakeland. He was the, not the pastor, but the president, excuse me. And so Brother Homer was there preaching, his father. Brother Homer came from England. Brother Homer was filled with the Holy Spirit in the early 1900s before Azusa Street. Brother Homer, he had friends like Smith Wigglesworth and the Jeffress brothers. Okay, these are men you need to read about. These were his contemporaries. These are the guys he hung out with. My dad asked him in 1948. He said, "Brother Homer, what's the difference between believers in 1948 and when you first got started?" He answered him with one word: determination. And I believe there's something that we need to pass down. If they were less determined in 1948 than we are in 2017, or 2017, we're probably really off the chart not determined. So I'm going to tell you something. We can have anything happen and we won't come to church. Well, The electricity went off right as I was leaving the house. What are you going to do? Wait till it comes back on? Yep, it's on. Got a little wind coming in, preacher. I can't be there. I'll mess up my dew. They're having a sale at Linwood Mall. Guess what? They have one every weekend. We let anything. But he said determination. I believe there's something about determination. I heard a story about kind of a fictitious football game. But the big animals were playing the little animals. And the little animals kicked off the ball to the big animals, and the lion, he catches the ball, he runs the length of field, scores a touchdown. Little animals can't do anything with the big animals. I mean, they are getting creamed. After a half, the score is 50-0. Big animals are leading the little animals. Second half, the big animals kick off to the little animals. They haven't been able to do anything the whole first half. I mean, nothing went right. When they kick off, this time, they kick off to the little centipede. He catches the ball. He catches it 1 foot in the end zone. He runs it out. And he goes the length of field, scores a touchdown. The coach of the big animals, he's like, where'd that little centipede come from? Where was he the last half? He's a little angry. He's had too much steroids when he was younger. When the big animals get the ball, they think, we'll give it to the lion around the end again. He'll do well. They pitch it out to him. When they pitch it out to him, there's a big pile up, bodies everywhere, feet everywhere. When they peel everybody off the pile, the last one off the pile is that little centipede again. Coach is mad. He's going, where'd that centipede come from? Goes like this. Next play, they say, okay, nobody can stop the elephant up the middle. They take one step and they hand it to him. He gets tackled in the backfield. There's bodies everywhere, feet everywhere. When they peel everybody off the pile, the last one off the pile is that little centipede again. This time, the coach of the big animals, he can't stand it. He said, I'm going to find out where that little centipede came from. He walks across the field. Gets up in the face of the coach of the little animals. He says, where'd that little centipede come from? Where's he been the whole first half? When he finally calms down, the coach of the little animals just real calmly says, well, he finally got his shoes on. Folks, I don't know, but I think tonight some of you are finally getting your shoes on. That you're getting your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are you hearing me? I don't know, but I have a feeling somebody here, it's been about 50-0 against you. You feel like the world has been up against you. You feel like you're weighed down. But I'm going to tell you, somebody tonight is getting their shoes on. Somebody shout unto God with the voice of triumph. What am I going to pass down to the next generation? Not only that determination, but how about a different worldview? A different worldview. I believe people that are Pentecostal ought to have a different worldview. I'll tell you what, I don't agree with everybody in this world. Because there's nothing that the devil can do to me that God cannot turn for my good. Sometimes I hear people, and we used to have testimony service, and it was almost like we were praising the devil. Well, I've been sick, and man, then he put some more sickness on me, and then my elbow started hurting. Then somebody gets up and beats that one. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what the devil's done to you, but I know that my God can turn it for good. I know that we have some facts, but I have a different take on the same facts. I don't know what the report was given. I don't know how sick you've been, but I know that my Bible says, by his stripes, I am healed. There's something about a different worldview. When you have problems, you begin looking for opportunities. for God to move. Somebody's got some problems, but it's an opportunity for God to move. Look at 2 Kings. I want to read this to you. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. There's some problem here, but it's an opportunity for God to move. Elisha replied, "Listen to this message from the Lord." He said, "This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow." I don't think you're getting it. "About this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, 'That couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven.' But Elisha replied, 'You will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it.' Now there were 4 men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Which should we sit here waiting to die?" they asked one another. "Why should we sit here till we die?" Now I'm going to tell you something. The fact was that they had been in famine. And there was not, it didn't matter how much money you had, there was nothing to buy. And now the man of God comes and says, "About this time tomorrow." I don't know, I feel something in my spirit right now. I feel like somebody has come in and you don't have enough money to fix your situation. You don't have enough help to get your situation go through it. You don't have what you need, but I would say about this time tomorrow. You got to understand, they're eating donkey head and donkey dung. Are you understanding me? Some of you wonder, why is he using the New Living Translation? That's why. Some of you catch that tomorrow. Donkey dung and, okay, whatever. Sometimes, you know, there's a reason. But about this time tomorrow, these lepers, the only way they got anything, it was illegal for them to go in the city because of their sickness. And the only way they got anything is by the kindness of somebody bringing them. But if you don't have anything, you can't give anything. You know, some people say, "Oh, I don't have much, you know, but I don't need much." That's greedy. Folks, I'm asking the Lord for more. Because if I got more, I can give away more. But if I don't have anything, you know, Lord, just bless me and my family that we have a good this and that and the other. Folks, that's greed. I want to be blessed so much that I just got to give it out everywhere I go. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that it's just not for me, but it spills out, a river running out of me. While they're eating donkey's dung and donkey head, about this time tomorrow, Elisha prophesies in famine that plenty is coming. Folks, I don't know, but I think about this time tomorrow, plenty is coming. Are you listening to me? Plenty is coming. He's saying bad news can be turned into good news. A mountain can be moved. Walls can come down. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And when I get bad news, I'm going to tell you, because of the Holy Ghost inside of me, I don't sit around and cry. I don't get on my face and say, "Oh, he's forsaken me." I lift up my hands and say hallelujah anyhow. Folks, I don't know what your legacy is, but my legacy is fire walkers, lion den dwellers, city shakers, dead men raisers, water walkers. Our legacy is Holy Ghost and fire. Are you understanding me? I believe tonight we ought to expect a shift in the atmosphere, a God shift. I know some people would come in here or they're watching by live stream thinking, well, this is just emotionalism. Well, I say to you watching by emotional that are watching and calling it emotionalism by live stream, I say you're dead in the name of Jesus. You say, well, I don't know if you should say this. All I can say tonight is my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when God builds a temple, he fills it with his glory. Amen. I got to glorify him. I've got to magnify him. I've got to exalt him. He is in me. What am I going to pass down tonight? I believe a radical openness to God. A radical openness to God with no restrictions. See, what I believe tonight is that in a moment, God can invade our circumstance. I don't know about you, but I came to church with expectancy. I came to church with an expectancy because he said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of us. I'm not waiting for him to show up. I'm not waiting for an angel to come down. No doubt angels are here, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus is here tonight. He's in the house, and anything can happen. See, we believe in being led by the Spirit here. We believe in what he wants is what we want. I saw somebody put on Facebook some time back, what a powerful time we had in service today with such and such minister. That's what they said. What a strong anointing is what they said. And I'm thinking to myself, he wrote that like he was surprised. Folks, I don't care. I know that you got one of the most gifted preachers in America that preach here. But I'm going to tell you, if the Holy Ghost doesn't show up, then all we got was entertained. Are you understanding me? If the Holy Ghost doesn't show up, I go to churches and they go, everybody stretch out your hand to the evangelist. Let's pray that he's anointed. And I'm thinking to myself, why did they invite me if I wasn't already anointed? They were not expecting anything. And then they wonder why they didn't have a revival. They wonder why nothing happened. Because they came and go ahead, we've heard the best. You know, like you're not the best. And they got the look on their face like all the sermons I've heard, that was one of them. Come to church with expectancy. The Bible says that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. That doesn't mean I'm praying and going, well, I'm hoping and I'm a-praying, I'm a-hoping and I'm a-praying, I'm a-hoping and I'm a... No, he said, believe that you receive. You should come together with expectation. And you should come to this house with an expectation that what you've already prayed for is going to happen. That's what we need to pass down to our kids, that when mom and dad pray and when your sister prays and when your friends pray, when you pray, your friends ought to say, well, I know when they pray, something's going to happen. Listen, if I got a problem, I don't call some of my friends because they don't expect anything to happen. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed. One translation says, hope will not lead to disappointment. We should come expecting to be satisfied and fulfilled. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Suddenly everyone's bands were loosed. At any moment things can change. I don't know, but I think about this time tomorrow. It's a new season. It's a new day. Are you hearing me? It's a new season. It's a new day. Listen, I want to close up here in a second. But look to Acts 13:2-3. I'm going to just give you a couple little things to close on. Acts 13:2-3, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, here's what I want you to see. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Notice something. In the church, They ministered to the Lord, and the Holy Ghost spoke. He said, you go over to Acts chapter 15, verse 28. It said, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Do you understand? The Holy Ghost said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. The Holy Spirit has a will. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of going to services where the anointing is thin. Where we have people that come bound and they leave bound. Why don't we want people free? If we listen to what the Holy Ghost says, and it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and us, I think something's going to happen. Is it because today we don't want to explain anything at church? If we don't have anything to explain in church, then we don't have any miracles. That's why we call it a miracle, because it can't be explained. You cannot have signs and wonders without people wondering. I wonder what has happened. Folks, we've got something we've got to pass on to our children and our children's children. And listen, some of you may have missed your kids a little bit, but it's not over yet. There's some of you sitting here, and I'm going to tell you something. God can change things overnight. I was preaching out in Arkansas, Monticello, Arkansas, down in the kind of the middle center of the state, a little bit south central, I guess. It was a man that got involved with our ministry there, and he's a deacon in the church, and his son had backslidden, got away from God. A young man went up to Bentonville, headquarters for Walmart. Got up in that area, got away from God. But I'm going to tell you, in that revival, God got a hold of him, and he began to believe what the Word of God said. And he said, if I'm going to help other people come to Christ, I believe God's going to help my kid come to Christ. Well, that meeting was over. He got up and testified. He got up and he said, my son called me. It was Wednesday night. He said, my son called me just a while before church. He said, Dad, my girlfriend and I, we're going to church tonight. He said, where are you going? He said, I don't know. He said, well, we're going to church. He said, well, he said, and when we go to church, he said, we're going to get saved. He said, what if the preacher doesn't give an altar call? We're getting saved anyway. Now, there's somebody here I want to testify here. Where is he? Where? Greg, where are you? Get up here quickly. I forgot about you, Greg. Come on. Come on up here. Quick, 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 quick. Run like you're Pentecostal. Come on. Now, tell us what happened last night.
I came up. I got a call from Kim about 7 o'clock. That's my wife. And her, our nephew, Jeremiah, in West Virginia, was swimming. And they were jumping off a bridge, something they've done many, many times. And she called me and said that he had hurt his back, and said that they told him that he had multiple fractures in his back and that it was possible internal bleeding. And I'll let Kim tell the rest about what she found out.
So they went to the doctor and they told him that, and they said they got to do a CT scan also on him. And so the doctor, after y'all prayed, the doctor...
Well, wait a minute. You came down right over there and you stopped me and said, can you pray? And you wanted the whole church to pray. Let me tell you, I didn't let him let the whole church pray because I wasn't sure, you know. I don't know him.
That's right.
That's right. All right? And I thought, well, we can just get 4 or 5 guys that I know believe the Lord. So I just started going like this, come here, come here, come here. And we just prayed. And then what happened?
So the doctor comes back in there after they do a CT scan. They come back in there and they tell my sister, they said there is no broke. There's no broken fractures or anything. And she said, well, we had the church a praying. And the doctor looked at her. She said, I know what I seen. There was multiple fractions on his back. And it is healed now. So he only had a bruise. That was it.
Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands all over this building. I want you to give him praise. Come on, somebody give him praise right now. We bless your name. We glorify you, Lord. Come on. Somebody shout unto God with the voice of triumph. What if that was your child? Come on. Shout unto God. Come on. If he did it for them, he can do it for you. About this time tomorrow. Just stay standing for just a moment. I'm glad I didn't forget about that. It was at the right time. I'm going to tell you something. God can move when people expect. And I'm going to tell you something. I just came to give somebody some good news tonight. Tomorrow can be better than today. See, I think sometimes you think us preachers, we have everything going good. I could write a book about bad things that have happened. But you know what? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Do we still believe that here? Stuff happens. Trouble comes. That's what affliction is. It's not. I'm not talking sickness now. But trouble comes to everybody. But I'm going to believe about this time tomorrow, trouble goes. Somebody, if you believe that for your word, just praise him just for about 30 seconds. Just give him praise right now. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for angels dispatched on our behalf. Minister unto us, the heirs of salvation. I thank you for the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is upon us. I thank you, Lord, for household salvation. I thank you for breakthrough in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast of this service. I pray the word was a great blessing to you, and I know the word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know that comes through listening to the word and putting the word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me, it caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning, and it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this, you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer. Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So If you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or till you hear us next time, God bless. And go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.